the staff. Employees referred to the decision tech executives as the staff. No one referred to them as a team, which Catherine decided was no accident. In spite of their undeniable intelligence and impressive educational backgrounds, the staff's behavior during meetings was worse than anything she had seen in the automotive world. Though open hostility was never really apparent and no one ever seemed to argue, an underlying tension was undeniable. As a result, decisions never seemed to get made, discussions were slow and uninteresting with few real exchanges, and everyone seemed to be desperately waiting for each meeting to end. And yet, as bad as the team was, they all seemed like well-intentioned and reasonable people when considered individually, with just a few exceptions. Jeff, former CEO, Business Development. Essentially a generalist who loved networking within the Valley, Jeff Shanley had raised a considerable amount of the company's initial money and attracted many of the current executives. No one could deny his prowess when it came to venture capital recruiting, but management was another story. Jeff ran staff meetings as though he were a student body president, reading from a textbook on protocol. He always published an agenda before each meeting and then distributed detailed minutes afterward. And, unlike most other high-tech companies, his meetings usually began on time and always concluded exactly when they were scheduled to end. The fact that nothing ever seemed to get done during those meetings didn't appear to bother him. In spite of his demotion, Jeff maintained his seat on the board of directors. Catherine initially suspected that he might resent her for taking his job, but she soon came to the conclusion that Jeff was relieved to be, well, relieved of his management responsibilities. Catherine had little concern about his presence on the board or on her management team. She suspected that his heart was in the right place. Mikey, marketing. Marketing would be a critical function at Decision Tech, and the board had been ecstatic to get someone as sought after as Michelle Beebe. Mikey, as she liked to be called, was well known throughout the Valley as a brand-building genius, which made it all the more astonishing that she lacked a few key social graces. During meetings, she talked more than the others, occasionally coming up with a brilliant idea, but more often complaining about how the other companies she had worked for did everything better than Decision Tech. It was almost as though she were a spectator, or better yet, a victim of circumstance at her new company. Though she never argued outright with any of her peers, she was known to roll her eyes in apparent disgust when one of them disagreed with anything she had to say about marketing. Catherine decided that Mikey was unaware of how she came across to others. No one would purposefully act that way, she reasoned. So, in spite of her talent and accomplishments, it was no surprise to Catherine that Mikey was the least popular among the rest of the staff, with the possible exception of Martin. Martin, chief technologist. A founder of the company, Martin Gilmore was the closest thing that Decision Tech had to an inventor. He had designed the original specs for the company's flagship product, and although others had done much of the actual product development, the executives often said that Martin was the keeper of the crown jewels. That analogy was due at least in part to the fact that Martin was British. Martin considered himself to know as much about technology as anyone else in the Valley, which was probably true. With advanced degrees from Berkeley and Cambridge and a track record of success as a chief architect at two other technology companies, he was seen as Decision Tech's key competitive advantage, at least when it came to human capital. Unlike Mikey, Martin didn't disrupt staff meetings. In fact, he rarely participated. It wasn't that he refused to attend those meetings. Even Jeff wouldn't allow such a blatant act of revolt. It was just that he always had his laptop open, and he seemed to be constantly checking email or doing something similarly engrossing. Only when someone made a factually incorrect statement could Martin be counted on to offer a comment, and usually a sarcastic one at that. At first, this was tolerable, maybe even amusing, to Martin's peers, who seemed in awe of his intellect, but it began to wear on the staff over time. And with the company's recent struggles, it had become an increasingly grating source of frustration for many of them.